We're going to begin at verse 10 in Colossians 3. I have two translations of one of the verses that I want to share with you. Because one translation clears it up a little bit. But first let us turn and hear what the Lord has. Colossians 3, verse 10, forward. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And we move down to verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Hear that verse 10 again, if you will. You have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its Creator. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, let your word made flesh be made flesh yet again, incarnate in us. Speak it now. Let your divine logos, your word, touch our lives. And when your word is set forth, you say it will not return void, but it will do the thing which you set it forth to do. I ask you, Heavenly Father, as we gather now, that you would minister to us. Speak your truth to our lives. Examine us. Prepare us for those things that you have for us. Open our minds to receive your truth and our hearts to be humble before you, to receive the words you have for us, whether they be for encouragement, to keep us going forward, or to turn us around. However you need to do it, Heavenly Father, have your way. Gracious Heavenly Father, now take me and let me be your servant. Despite the weaknesses and faults of men, you speak your word through preaching, which is folly to some, but to us let your word of life come. I ask you these things, Heavenly Father, that your perfectness would be made true in your strength, made whole in my weakness. I thank you, Lord. I ask this in the name of Jesus, so that the words in my mouth, the meditations in our hearts, the thoughts in our minds would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our strength, our rock, and my Redeemer. Amen. If you don't love Jesus, this message probably won't settle very well. If you love Jesus, we got some practical instruction here in Colossians. Some things that, not that we ought to do, but that when we have the mind of Christ, or God is renewing us, these things happen. Remember, in verse 10, it says, we become a new creation, we are new, and we are renewed in the knowledge to be with God's knowledge. There are a lot of things in our lives that we do not understand why they happen. We don't understand how things can linger, or a sickness can continue to be prolonged, and no answer to the prayer. We don't understand because we don't have God's perspective on it. I want to share with you, and I challenge you this morning, that in our lives, there are things that we need God to do to bring us clearly into His presence, to understand what He wants to do in us. God does not make mistakes. God does not lie. God never fails. So no matter what you think, those three facts must be a part of it. And the fourth truth, that the cross of Jesus Christ is bigger and stronger and goes deeper than anything else you can stand up against it. If you believe that, then this message is going to bring you understanding about how to open up, if you will, supercharged by God's mind, how you can begin to open doors that are closed. Maybe you've asked in prayer a lot of things, and that's been my prayer this week, is God, why are certain prayers for certain people's healing not happening? And I'm asking God, why is that? And He said, you need to come to Me and ask Me for what My will is in that situation. And what you need, that is Me, to do to bring forth greater and greater blessing. We read a little bit last week about a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge being gifts that God gives. There are a bunch of gifts that each one of us are given. One of those is a gift of faith. Another is given a gift of healing, of evangelism, of prophecy. There are several different gifts. Unfortunately, we don't all operate in all of them. Now, true, there can be a time when you yourself operate in the gift of faith. And then after a time, you no longer do because that's not your primary gift. Do you know what your gift is? Well, let me share with you, to open up doors to know what it is, to come to the understanding, you need to apply what 3 in Colossians says. The new man has some things about it that we must incorporate into our thinking. First of all, you are one with Christ. You are one with Him. Not He's up here and you're down here. You are equal with Christ. And you say, well, He's perfect. But you are one with Him. It says in the first few verses of this chapter that He is your life. That He died on the cross. And in your baptism, you died with Him and you resurrected when you came out of the water with Christ. So you are one with Him in His death and His resurrection now. Not later. Now. We are seated together with Him in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 2. We are one with Christ. We are priests and co-rulers with Jesus Christ. When you get that mindset, then you have to think a little more of yourself as royalty. And here's how to do that. He says, when you begin to have the mind of God, you will not see someone as a Greek or a Jew. And what that means is, you won't see distinction because of nationality. There is no longer nationality. Not only that, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. That means that there is neither someone who is in or out of your circle. And Scythian or barbarian, and that means those who are, for lack of a better term, destitute, derelicts, delinquents, and those who are morally acceptable and socially acceptable. There is no difference in God's eyes. And there's no difference between someone who is enslaved, ensconced, if you will, in sin, and someone who's been set free from sin in God's eyes. And there's no difference between you and another person, save one. There's only one difference in God's mind in people, and that's those who belong to Him and know it, and those who need to and don't know it. There is no other difference. Let me tell you, when your kid's in school, there's a lot of differences we pick on. We used to pick on the fat kids, and the skinny kids, and the kids with pigeon toes, and crow's feet. We used to pick on the bow-legged. We used to pick on the knock-kneed. We picked on everybody. We used to pick on everybody for different things, even if we had it, because they were different than me. That was based on a lie. We are not different. We all need Jesus. Some of us have acknowledged that need. That's the only distinction we have the right to make. Everything else is based on a lie and on separation. And God is trying to make us all one. You know, I used to think when I was a kid and I came to Jesus that if I was one, I'd have to like the creepy people. I had to like these smelly, fat kids that came to my school, and I didn't know if I wanted them to come to Jesus or not, because then I'd be one with them. I'd have to like them. So I said, I don't know if I want all that. Them folks is different. If they're going to be with Jesus, I don't know if I want that Jesus, because He likes them all. Understand that that's the mind of a child. Not the mind of Christ. Because Christ does not look on outward appearances. As when He picked King David, He looks at the heart. You understand, you peel off all the outer layers of stuff and you get down to the heart, there's only a heart for God and a heart not for God. That's all we need to be concerned with. Everything else is trappings. Garbage. Doesn't help us at all. And so if we're after having the heart of God and recognizing the heart of another, here's what we need to do. In verse 12 it says that we are holy and beloved and the elect of God, and we need to put on bowels of mercies. Well, what that means is that from your very gut, you have compassion. From your very gut, you care. God does. And we're supposed to do the same. And we will, if we have His mind. Not only that, but kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering. It all sounds like nice terms, but what does it look like? I'm one of those people who's very practical. Someone says, you ought to go be nice to somebody. I'll say, okay, have a nice day. That's not practical. How do we do this practically? Paul tells us. He says, forbearing one another. That means putting up with someone we don't necessarily like. But that we need to know that they belong to Jesus too. Forbearing means having patience. Now, that takes some work. Especially if we don't have the mind of Christ. If we're not renewed in the mind. But it gets tougher. We got to forgive one another. It says, if anybody has a quarrel with you, even as Christ has forgiven you, so you forgive them. Well, but they did me wrong. Yes, they did. That means they need to have a heart for God. And if you don't forgive them, you don't either. If someone else can take your joy, then they've become your master. Unfortunately. It says, above all these things, put on charity or love. And this is a bond of perfectness. I was reading in a book by Dr. Henry Cloud this week. Excuse me. And he said that one of the toughest things that he had one young lady do who came in and her sister was bugging her. Her sister had done her wrong and her sister wouldn't make amends and she was mad at her sister. And Dr. Cloud asked her, says to her, the young lady, why are you bugged because she's upset with you? And she said, well, I'm bugged because she did me wrong and she needs to come and tell me she's sorry. And until she makes that step, I'm going to be bugged by it. Uh-huh. So, is she responsible for what her sister did? No. Is she responsible for how she feels about it? Yes. Is she responsible for what she does about how she feels about it? Yes. If she thinks otherwise, she's a victim in her mind. She's done me wrong, and I'm a victim, and I'm bugged, and I can't have a relationship with her because I was done wrong. That's not true. That's a choice. Love is a choice until it becomes natural. We are born in this world to be very, very self-centered people. If you don't think so, look at a newborn baby when it's hungry. What does it do? If you're not too busy, feed me. If you're not too busy, could you give me a bottle? No. It goes, look at me! Look at me! And it kicks and fits and fits until you give it something. When you pop a bottle in its mouth, it says, now we're talking. You noticed me. I got what I wanted. And it learns. And as we learn that we have certain needs that must be met, and we think other people got to do it. For a while, it's true. We can't take care of ourselves for several years. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe. As long as we realize that it's not about what someone's doing for us or not doing for us. We have to grow up and realize that we are responsible for how we feel. Nobody else is. We're responsible for how we think. Nobody else is. I thought it was interesting. Earlier this week, one of my clients said, "That guy made me mad. I want to kill him." And I said, "He did." I said, "What did he do?" He said, "He lied about me. I think he stole something from me too." I said, "Okay, so he lied and he stole. But how did he make you mad?" He said, "Well, wouldn't it make you mad if someone lied to you? Lied about you and stole something from you?" I said, "It might, but I choose. Not him." Of course, he said, "Well, you know what I mean." I said, "No, I don't. Because you set yourself up as a victim. We are not victims in Christ Jesus. It says we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us." And it goes on. Listen to these instructions. That we put on the bond of love, and then it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." Instead of trying to create dissension and allowing it to stay cleared up from your end. If someone has an odd with you, say, "The door is open. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make this thing peaceable. I'm ready to do the right thing. I don't want to, because it means I may have to sacrifice something that's important to me. But it's more important to me to love my Lord Jesus and do what He said. And so I'm willing to let this earthly loss go for a salvation and a crown to please my Master." There's a fella named Lacey. Lacey, in 1940-something, got in a spat with his brother. And Lacey never forgave his brother. His brother died in the 70s, and Lacey's still mad at his brother. Lacey got up into the 1980s, and that's about the time I met him. And he said, "I'm still mad at my brother." I said, "Well, why don't you go talk to him?" I said, "Dan, he's dead." And I said, "So who is it that's hurting from your lack of forgiveness?" And he said, "I don't care. He did me wrong. Justice is me not forgiving my dead brother." You know, that man died and never forgave his brother, and he was miserable. But I promise you, that man died inside in the 1940s. Because where you cannot forgive is where you stop loving and growing. Because you drew the line at where love ends. And it says, "Let peace of God rule in your heart." You are called in one body, and be thankful. That's tough, you know? Hard to be thankful when you don't feel thankful. Very tough. And he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, teaching and uplifting one another in psalms and hymns and songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." It's hard to sing when you can't carry a tune. Doesn't matter. It says sing anyway. But he says this also, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. For whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, I hope I can say this in a few words so that it doesn't come as too much for you to unpack. But it is true in our lives that we are not perfect people. But that is no excuse to remain the same. If you have a bad relationship, it's up to you to clear your end of it. If you have aught with your neighbor, whatever it is you have aught over is not worth the price of disappointing your master. Because that thing, whatever it is, that's causing the disturbance is not as important as your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if it is claiming more of your attention and causing a root of bitterness in you, it will well up in you. Not only will it well up in you, it will become your master. It will run your life. Why do I say this? Because if we do not have the mind of Christ, which forgave those taking His life, if we don't have that mind, we're not being renewed. All Christ has done is washed away sin so we could stick some more on us. I think the greatest sin for a Christian is to harbor bitterness and know it. And to harbor an unforgiving heart. The first thing He says is to forgive one another. And so I ask you this morning, if there's anybody, anything that you've left unforgiven because of damage done to you, and you fulfill God's word and forgive it completely, as Christ forgave you completely. That's the mind of Christ. And if you have someone who you have aught against, who you have failed, to go and begin to make amends, to make it right. It says in Matthew, if you have aught against your brother, and you're upset with him, go and make it right before you offer your gift to the Lord. And for some of us, we've harbored a sin that keeps us from fully receiving the grace of Christ. And it doesn't matter how bad it is or how little it is, we cannot justify sin. Justifying sin is insanity because it will kill you. Wages of sin is more sin. And the wages of more sin is death. We cannot justify that. And so I challenge you this morning, if you're harboring that, justifying a negative behavior, and you know it, to bring it before the Lord. You confess it, it loses its power. I promise you. If you have aught with your neighbor, make it right. And if you see someone as less than you or better than you, stop it. It's not true. It's based on a lie. There's no one better than you. There's no one less than you. There's only people who need Jesus and know it, and people who need Jesus and don't. And if you see someone who needs Jesus and don't know it,
give them some. That's what Christ does to you. I hope this message helps you understand what the mind of God is about, of making us all one in love. Folks, if you can't love certain people, that's on you. That's your responsibility to change that. Today, here, now. Because God is a God of love. If you have trouble loving someone, you need to confess that. And get rid of it or it'll kill you. Get rid of the bitterness so you can live free. The benefits are, you'll know that Jesus answers your prayer. But He can't answer a bitter prayer. Would you pray with me?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us completely.